Michael Campagna, co-founder and senior investment analyst at Morris Capital Management, is here. It's time to talk stocks, and this is the Market Call. Welcome to the Money Life Market Call, the part of the show where we talk with experienced money managers about how they do their job, what they're looking for that informs their buys and sells, what they see happening broadly on the market, and how they are putting it all together. And today, my guest is Michael Campagna. He is co-founder and senior investment analyst at Morris Capital Management. Morris, M-O-E-R-U-S, morriscap.com for the firm, morrisfunds.com if you're looking for their mutual funds, which are worth a look. Michael Campagna, thanks for coming back to Money Life.
I'm glad to be back, Chuck.
Michael joins me on the Gainbridge Hotline. Gainbridge believes that deferred fixed annuities are a steady, guaranteed way to grow your savings. Its innovative self-managed platform provides direct access to trusted annuity products without complexity or hidden fees. Learn more at gainbridge.life. Well, Michael, we always start with methodology, and even for my diehards, it has been a while since you've been on the show, so we need a refresher course.
Yeah, of course. So at Morris, we're deep value investors, and that's a space that's become less and less popular over the past decade, and frankly, at times, a tough place to be. You know, I think in today's market, it feels better to be a growth investor. You're a more interesting person at cocktail parties talking about the next potential disruptive technology and predicting the future. But we believe that there is price and there's value. And it's not clear to us that the price paid today for a lot of these quote-unquote future businesses accurately reflects the value that you get, and we focus on that value. So more than a decade of low interest rate policies distorted a lot of things, in our opinion, and it's made it easy to win as a growth investor and tough for us deep value guys. But at the end of the day, we believe that there's a fundamental connection between a company's profitability and its valuation. So how we do this is we utilize an asset-based approach. It's more akin to how a creditor might think about a business as opposed to the traditional way that an investor would think about it. So we seek to buy companies whose stocks we think are trading at meaningful discounts to their intrinsic value. And to do that, we're really looking at the value of the company's assets, not what those assets are currently earning or their current earnings generation ability, but what those assets are worth in a normal transaction. So what a willing, rational buyer would pay for those assets, not in a hot market, not in a fire sale, but on average over the cycle. So we spend all of our time looking where we think others aren't. A lot of people say that they quote unquote zig when the market zags, but you look at their portfolio and they own Amazon. Now we can debate whether or not we think Amazon is a value idea or not.
Yes.
But I don't think it's a contrarian investment idea. This results in our spending a lot of our time looking around the world for fires. So we look for negative fundamentals or negative perceptions about markets to find discounts. And then within those markets, try to find companies that are trading at deep discounts to their intrinsic value. So to execute this, given that there's always going to be hair on these investments as a deep value investor, you don't get something for nothing, it's paramount for us to buy at a very deep discount. This gives us upside potential and downside protection. Also necessary is a long-term time horizon. So managing risk becomes very, very important. When you own a company for the long term and the industry environment is challenging, that means that that company needs staying power and survivability. It's actually where our name comes from, which is very hard to pronounce for many people, but Morris is an ancient Latin word for a city's defensive wall. So we thought it was a apt term for our company. Lastly, we say that we are macro myopic, but macro aware. What this means in reality is that we pay attention to our surroundings, but we don't forecast based on macro variables. We know what macro variables are and how they impact our companies, but we don't make investments predicated upon our expectations or our predictions of the future, because we just don't believe that we can consistently and successfully make predictions of the future. So what this all results in is a global opportunistic portfolio, which is typically 15 to 50 securities. It doesn't follow any indexes, geographic or sector allocations, but rather reflects what we think are the best ideas that we're finding at any point in time.
Let's bring this back for a second, because I didn't mention the name of the fund. It's the Morris Worldwide Value Fund, M-O-W-N-X, MONX for those who are looking for tickers. But when folks go to look up that ticker, Michael, they're going to see that you get one star from Morningstar. Now, if they didn't put it together, that methodology doesn't jive with Morningstar. Like, I cannot imagine that there's any way you fit into just about any style box or category. Is that the issue? Because invariably, and I love talking to guys who have fewer stars because I think that's where you go. If you say, I want to go take the manager and take the manager risk, that's where you're finding it. But how frustrating as a money manager is it to do what you do and know that there's really not much else like you out there, yet you're categorized and therefore penalized for it?
I think it's more frustrating for our business development people than me and us on the investment side. You know, listen, we've done one thing and done it consistently for, I've been doing it for about 17 years. My colleagues have been doing it for 25 or 30 years, and that is deep value investing. And while right now it looks like this is possibly the worst way that you can invest, I think over the long term, we firmly believe that this is the right way to invest. You know, I mentioned earlier, you know, a decade plus of low interest rates. You know, I think that's distorted a whole lot of things. And what we're seeing today is a situation where what works and what is rewarded in the market today are typically companies where earnings are coming or cash flows are coming far into the future. And without getting too deep into the math of it, when you're discounting future earnings at a near 0% discount rate, because interest rates have been so low for so long, the present value of those future earnings today is much more valuable. That's something that we think could change significantly if interest rates rise. So, you know, Morningstar ratings aside, you know, we've stuck to our knitting. We've done exactly what we've always done. And unlike many of the other value investors out there, we haven't deviated and capitulated and started buying what I would argue are not clear value stocks and amending our philosophy for, you know, what I think is kind of a long-term but transient trend.
You haven't amended your style, but you're also not a tremendous amount in cash. And when I talk with deep value guys or absolute value guys, there's always that question of absolute versus relative value. So while you haven't changed your stripes, have you at all changed the relative measure for what is deep value? I mean, are you buying some things today that at a different point in time would not be deep enough down the hole to have made the cut?
No. And actually, you know, our cash position is about 8%, which, as you rightly identify, for us as tried and true value investors is a little bit on the lower end. We've been finding really interesting opportunities around the world. You know, when I was on the show last time, which was, again, a long time ago, September 2019, we were talking about energy, the UK, Hong Kong, emerging markets, and financials. If you have me on today, which I am, what am I going to talk about? The same exact things. So what hasn't worked, we continue to think are phenomenal long-term opportunities. You know, energy stocks today continue to be very attractive. Financials continue to be very attractive. And emerging markets continue to be a place where we're finding a lot of opportunities. So in spite of not being much in the U.S., the U.S. is about less than 10% of our portfolio today versus 60% of the ACWI index, we are finding a lot of great opportunities, and we're not amending our definition of absolute value for the current market. We're just finding things that are smaller cap and further afield maybe than it has been traditionally. And we're not finding anything in the U.S. So if you look at our portfolio right now, again, less than 10% in the U.S. versus 61% for the MSCI All Country World Index. You look at information technology, which in the MSCI All Country World Index doesn't even include Amazon, Tesla, Facebook, or Alphabet. That's 23% of the index today. It's 0% of our fund. So we're finding a lot of really interesting opportunities and really attractive stuff. It's not a problem of not finding opportunities. It's a problem of the opportunities that we've had are not in areas that are currently benefiting from this long-term trend of near zero interest rates.
Well, give us an idea. What's a poster child for the methodology, something that you particularly like that maybe has been working out?
Yeah. So I talked a little bit about emerging markets So I'd like to talk about a company called Despegar.com, which is New York Stock Exchange listed. So it's listed in the U.S. It's domiciled in Latin America. The ticker is DESP. Despegar is a company we've been following for a while, but it got very cheap through the pandemic. And you'll find out why when I describe the business. It's the leading online travel agency, so OTA, in Latin America. So think the Expedia.com of the continent. I know you guys, I think you've had guests on your show talk about OTAs, and it's obviously an area of interest for a lot of people. But in the case of Despegar, the stock has not recovered like what we've seen in the U.S. counterparts. Both Booking and Expedia are well above where they were trading pre-pandemic. Despegar is well up off its lows, but it's in the low teens, which is well below where it was pre-pandemic. But what's really interesting about Despegar is that the OTA business, the online travel agency business, is much more valuable, in our opinion, in Latin America than it is in the U.S. There's much less competition. Despegar is the clear leader in Brazil, Mexico, and Colombia, markets that ostensibly have been quite challenged as of late, but are very attractive longer term. And the value proposition is larger because travel providers are much more fragmented in the region. So in the U.S., large hotel chains control about 50% of the rooms. That's just 7% in Latin America. There's more than 60 airlines across Latin America, as opposed to the 5 or 6 dominant ones in the U.S. And there's much lower credit card penetration in Latin America than in the U.S., which creates a lot of ancillary business opportunities. Essentially, what this results in is the travel providers competing to pay Despegar for their services, which is the exact opposite of the situation we're seeing in the U.S., where many of the providers, the Hiltons and the airlines of the world, are seeking to take economics back from intermediaries and push people to book directly. So it's really interesting in that it's a high growth business positioned well for the long term, but at what we think is a value price. And this is something that you don't see very often.
Well, it's funny because we started today's show with Tom Lydon giving his ETF of the week, which was OOTO, out of the office, the direction daily travel and vacation, bullish 2X. And the interesting thing is Despegar is not a significant part, if at all, in their portfolio. I didn't see it in any of their holdings. Yet you just made a strong case for why it's the deep value play. And for anybody who heard the earlier discussion, there's a really interesting juxtaposition there. Quickly, because I don't want to get away from this, but, you know, as you pointed out, you were last on the show over 2 years ago. You're still in the same investment place. The Morris Fund has low turnover. So what actually makes you sell? What makes you give up on something?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we sell for principally 4 reasons. So number one is an error in analysis. That's if we got something wrong, which never happens. I'm joking. But hopefully that doesn't happen too often. Number two is if the company does something we don't like. This is a little bit more frequent. So, you know, I talked earlier about how survivability is paramount. So if the company takes on a large amount of debt, if the company does an acquisition that we think stretches the balance sheet, if the company takes actions that we think introduce a fundamental potential risk to the survivability of that company, we would sell. The third reason is valuation. So, you know, we've bought something based on its asset value, and the market has come around to see that it's actually to value it on earnings multiples or earnings potential. So we would sell, buy on asset value and sell on earnings valuation. And then the last piece, which is actually a decent size for our portfolio, given that we're buying things that are so out of favor, is a forced sale resulting from a takeout. So situations where we're buying at a deep enough discount that even if the market doesn't recognize the value there, a competitor, another player in the industry, a financial buyer, be it a private equity or somebody else like that, will actually take the company away from us through a forced takeout.
Well, now we're going to get your quick and dirty take on some stocks that my audience is particularly interested in.
Quick and dirty.
Here I come to save the day.
That's right. When we're talking about a small fund like Morris, we really need to take a look at saving the day for deep value investors. My guest is Michael Campagna. He is senior investment analyst and co-founder at Morris Capital Management, M-O-E-R-U-S, MorrisCap.com for more information. You know how quick and dirty works? So we're going to jump in and we're going to do this starting with some name brand companies. Like Dave in Beaver Dams, New York, wants to know about McDonald's Corp, MCD.
McDonald's is obviously a fantastic business, great brand. Company's shown an impressive ability to stay relevant with customers over the years and also grow profit over the past several years, even though revenues haven't been growing. However, the valuation is where I'd get hung up. What I would point to is a similar situation to what I was just talking about with Despegar versus Expedia, is a company called Arcos Dorados, which is just Golden Arches in Spanish. Another New York Stock Exchange listed company that's based in Latin America. The ticker is ARCO. It's the master franchisee for McDonald's with the majority of South America and the Caribbean, with Brazil being the largest market. Similar underlying fundamentals to McDonald's, but again, a stronger growth opportunity in our opinion and a much more attractive valuation. Another example of where you can buy a growth stock at a value price. So if you like McDonald's, I would tell you to take a look at ARCO.
McDonald's itself, for valuation reasons.
Tell them to sell!
But if you are looking for
cheeseburger in paradise,
yeah, you'll find your cheeseburger not in paradise, but in Arcos Dorados, ticker ARCO. That's a buy. Richard in Chula Vista, California wants to know about ExxonMobil, XOM.
I'm very, very positive on the energy industry. Energy is very interesting right now. It's been an area where there's been chronic underinvestment. The pandemic threw supply and demand dynamics way out of whack, bringing down a large portion of the U.S. shale industry. Layer onto that the unrelenting push towards ESG and divestment of energy companies from a lot of institutional portfolios, and the sector is very interesting for long-term investors. We had a guest on yesterday who I think hit it on the head. The supply-demand dynamics are favorable for high prices to remain. You've got declining supply, growing demand, and companies choosing to return profits to shareholders rather than invest in expanding capacity, which is going to further result in lower supply. I like ExxonMobil a lot. I like the energy space. And if you really like the energy space, I'd also suggest taking a look at Aker ASA, which is a Norwegian listed security. I know a lot of the listeners can't invest in Norway, but there's also a subsidiary of it. Aker's largest asset is Aker BP, which has a U.S. listed ADR, ticker DETNF. Aker itself is an E&P company that is essentially taking all of the cash flows from its E&P business and reinvesting them into high growth potential new energy businesses such as offshore wind and carbon capture. I think the energy business in general, is fantastically attractive. I think ExxonMobil is very attractive. And if you like ExxonMobil, I'd also invite you to take a look at Aker.
So you're looking at energy and saying,
I want all the power you can give me.
Yeah, you want all the power. ExxonMobil, XOM, was a buy, but so was Aker, ticker symbol DETNF. Lance in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania wants to know about Dundee Corp. That's DDEJF.
So this is a little gem of a company that I think most people don't know about. In the midst of completely changing and narrowing its focus, it's monetized its holding in Dundee Precious Metals and many other assets. And essentially, without getting into too many details, what they're effectively doing is selling a lot of the assets, getting a cashed up balance sheet, and then using that money to invest in promising investment opportunities in smaller and mid mining companies. This is what is in Dundee's DNA for many, many years, and it's really attractive. On top of that, management's been repurchasing shares and is currently in the midst of a normal course issuer bid, where it's repurchasing up to 10% of the shares outstanding. I think Dundee Corp is really, really attractive.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
That's a buy on Dundee Corp, DDEJF. Rick in York, Pennsylvania wants to know about Wheaton Precious Metals, WPM.
Yeah, so Wheaton is a company that we actually own in the portfolio. It's, I think precious metals exposure is good to have. And gaining it through streaming, which is what Wheaton Precious Metals does, as opposed to direct mining, is, I think, a lower risk, more attractive way of getting exposure to the underlying commodities. The other thing about Wheaton Precious Metals is it provides a nice element of inflation protection in a world where we're seeing rising risks of inflation. And again, this could be another debate about whether or not it's transitory. But either way, I think Wheaton Precious Metals is deserving of being in the portfolio.
Why not put some of that money to work for you with the high yield only investing in gold and silver can bring?
Well, a stylized investment in gold and silver, that's a buy on Wheaton Precious Metals, WPM. And last, for Ray in Buena Vista, Florida, it's DoorDash, ticker Dash.
Predictably, as a value guy, this is a business model I just don't understand. It's losing hundreds of millions of dollars a year in what I think is a commodity business. You've had guests on your show talk about Uber and Lyft, and I think most recently the Sweetgreen IPO. You know, there's no barriers to entry to these businesses, and customers are ultimately price sensitive. So convenience is nice, but I don't think it's something people are willing to pay a lot for. And it's currently subsidized by venture capital and what I would call buoyant public markets. But as soon as they raise prices, I think people walk away. So I don't like Dash as a business at all.
So, well, we can sum up Dash as a sell this way. Yeah, just indigestion. That's it. But what didn't give us indigestion, what actually was really interesting, was this interview. Michael, this was fabulous. Please don't stay away again so long. We'd love to have you back in the not-too-distant future. And until then, have a happy holiday.
Thanks, Chuck. I'd love to be back.
That's Michael Campagna, co-founder and senior investment analyst at Morris Capital Management. Morris Cap, M-O-E-R-U-S, morriscap.com, morrisfunds.com to learn about their fund, their worldwide value fund, M-O-W-N-X. We'll be back to wrap up today's show right after this message.